Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hello and welcome back to Patreon with Cheese. I am joined, as always, by my professional colleague and nothing else, Elizabeth Esther. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
We're friends, Jez. We're friends.
No. You said we were just professional colleagues. You pulled me off mic in between the two recording sessions.
Yeah.
You
were like, we're recording this the following week. We don't record two of these at the same time. What are you talking about? We totally don't do this in one sitting.
Join us, leave your fields to sour.
Also, Jess and I are friends. We are friends, people.
We are. This week, we are talking about Encores episode 9 and 10. And we're starting with Pippin.
Which is so weird.
All right, what do you know about the musical Pippin?
I knew it was called Pippin. That's it.
That's a good amount.
I knew it was called Pippin. And then as I do with all these episodes or musicals I've never heard of or have never seen, I read the plot summary on Wikipedia.
Isn't that great? Isn't that show sound incredible?
It sounds amazing. I loved it.
Okay. So Bob Fosse, in his Bob Fosse way, came in this show that's a mess, and Stephen Schwartz, and he just comes in and he's like, no, we gotta make it dark. No, babe, we gotta make it dark. I'm gonna just take out all the story at dancing. Doc! And then, especially that ending. I think that ending is one of the most interesting Broadway endings of all time.
Oh, yeah.
That changes almost every time it's put on. Every revival has done something big and different with it. So originally, Pippin goes through life finding meaning, looking for, aspiring for meaning, right? And he finds his family. He's like, I don't want that. I'm going to go be something big. And then these people are like, fine then, jump through the ring of fire. And he's like, I'll die though. And they're like, yeah, that'll be a pretty good death, wouldn't it? And he decides to choose the family and to live on. And the entire show, they tear down the stage. They rip apart the entire show. The piano player stops. Adam Wachter is forced to stop.
Never stop Adam Wachter playing piano. You won't live to see the next day.
It is, and then they're just left to without a set, without lights, without makeup, without costumes. And he starts to sing a little bit a cappella, and he's asked, well, how do you feel? And originally, it just said empty. And then Stephen Schwartz begged Bob Fosse, like, can we just add but happy? He's like, no, unfulfilled. And he's like, come on. He's like, all right, I hate it.
And that was the day Bob Fosse's heart grew 6 sizes for like 2 seconds.
I hate it, though. But then in the revival with Bettina Miller, he does Unfulfilled But Happy, and that's not too bad for a musical comedy. And then the husband, Pippin, and his wife go off, and the kid goes in and gets enticed back into the show business again. That is where it finally becomes brilliant. That is when the show becomes like, all right, I get your message. Still don't love the show.
Yeah.
I got a lot of shit when we did the episode on it about how I was the only negative one. Bree and Andrew were like real positive about it. I'm like, I don't think I love this guy.
I like Pippin. I've only seen this version of Pippin. I've never seen any version of Pippin. I'll probably might check it out, but I like what I saw at least. Even the weird flesh dancers I didn't totally hate. It was a little weird that Disney didn't cut it, but you know.
Well, that's the weird thing about Pippin. It's just Bob Fosse nonsense on top of a very, very slight story. Yeah. So sometimes, like, we're going to dance for 45 minutes now. And I'm like, I feel no connection to this dance we're doing.
Yeah, it reminds me, like, in Cats, and there's a period of just, like, a bunch of songs people are singing in Act 1. And then the Jellicle Ball happens, and they dance for 10 yeah. minutes. And you're just like...
10 minutes? Yeah, that's being kind. Like 10 minutes, sure.
It felt like 30 minutes. But I have no idea how long they were actually dancing. At that point, I started fast-forwarding through the pro shot. This was before the movie came out, so I was just like, let's just fast-forward a bit. This is too much dancing. Very strange.
One of the longest recording sessions me and Andrew ever did was our commentary for Cats, where by the end we're just so wore out by it. So emotionally destroyed by that show. And we're just kind of like just saying gibberish.
The pro shot?
Yeah, the pro shot. Not even of the movie, of the 3-hour pro shot.
Yeah, I remember the Cats trailer came out. I didn't know what Cats was. I was like, I know what Cats is a thing because every year in my high school, my band director would start this rumor that our musical this year was Cats. And he would do it every year. Shout out to Mr. Sharmount. He's the man. He would do it every year. And by the time I was a senior, like, Mr. Sharmount, don't spread the goddamn Cats rumor. We all know you do it every year. It's never true. Last year we did freaking, what did we do? Peter Pan, of all things. So,
yeah.
Which is an okay show. I got real sick of it. But, so I, like, the Cats really came out. It looked clinically insane. And I was like, I need to see what the source material is. So I found the pro shot and I watched the whole thing in like 2 settings. And I was like, I still don't know what Cats is. Which is the reflection of every Cats fan I've ever talked to. It's just like, I don't know what it is, but I like it.
I mean, Cats fans, I love them. You're wrong. But back to
Pippin.
How do you think this performance was?
I thought it went pretty well for a bunch of 50-year-olds. Yeah. The original production of Pippin was in 1984, which is the oldest. This is the oldest cast we've had on this show so far.
So far, I know there's one coming up that's real old.
Is it? It's very good.
Oh,
that's good. No, but I think they did pretty well for being old and doing Bob Fosse moves. That must be hard on the body. Jesus Christ. I can't imagine doing it like 25.
I can't even imagine doing it like 3 years ago.
Seriously, I can't imagine doing it in high school. Like, this is why my high school didn't do Bob Fosse shows. Like, they're hard.
I stubbed my toe like 3 weeks ago and I still hurt. Like, imagine like trying to do a dance where you could like break your knee.
I will get paper cuts in random places like on my hand and not be able to tell you where I get them. I am that level of uncoordinated. So
it's such a dance centric show and like so intense that like one of the actors playing the leading player had fucking blood pressure issues that almost knocked him out of the show entirely.
Yeah, like, this reaction splits the leading player part. Like, there's 2 leading players, which I...
Good choice.
Which
Good
is
idea.
An excellent choice, because they both bring different energies to it, and they work together well. But there's an entire day he's out, and the guy who's playing the one leading player is like, I have to memorize all these lines. I don't know if I'm able to do this.
The anxiety.
Anxiety is real, but he comes back and he's okay. But he's also, he's a veteran that has, like, very serious, the guy who's in the hospital, he's a veteran with very serious medical issues, so.
Maybe doing, you know, this isn't the
smartest move for your health, but he seemed happy to do it at the end of the day. I love it the day before, and his mom was like, he just get out of the hospital. I don't know if he's going to be okay. I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. And then he did great, and it was just like, you could see the joy on his mom's face. It was delightful. Just like, oh, I'm so proud of him.
I like the idea that the 2 leading players lean on each other very well. They had great chemistry, too.
I think everyone in this cast had good chemistry, and there's some old romance stuff going on.
In a non-cringe way, this is probably the least cringe of the, like, old flames.
Yeah, there's so many, like, the cringiest is probably like the Beauty and the Beast one, maybe, where it's, like, super fresh. Like, way too fresh. There's one in the next episode we're talking about, which isn't as bad, because it seems they seem friendly, so it feels less painful.
Who do you think is the MVP of this one?
I think it's Carter, who is leading player A.
I agree.
I think,
like, that was going to be my choice, too. His dancing,
his dancing is
like,
impeccable,
so
and he just, he took him a long time to get the confidence, but his old theater teacher sat him down, like, three different times. It was like, you literally know how to do this. And I think a lot, I relate to that. I have that conversation in my own head all the time. I'm just like, you can actually do this. So.
Yeah. I think that, I also think that the teacher was actually a very important part in this one, unlike the other ones.
This is also a performing.
It's like, we're here.
This is also a performing arts high school, so the stakes are like insanely high. Steven Schwartz shows up as a consultant.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Which felt clinically insane to me. Like, I thought he was going to show up for a single day and be like, you're doing great, yay.
He showed up to the performance.
He showed up to the performance. He showed up to the rehearsal the next day and worked with the chick playing the stepmom about her, like, sexy song. This is, like, the sexiest episode of Encore, and it's super weird because it's a Disney show at the root of it.
I'm not going to lie. I wish Steven Schwartz had gone to the Godspell show. I think he would have liked that one
I like the Godspell show better than Pippin.
The gods. I would have actually paid to see that. I wouldn't have paid to go see the Pippin show, as talented as I think they are.
Yeah, also, like, you can't even argue it's, like, this one is set in California argument, because this one is set in, like Kentucky. Steven Schwartz went out of his way to fly to Kentucky to work with these people.
Could it be the racism talking?
It might be the racism talking.
You know, it could be.
There's only two black people in this episode, and one of them is Carter, and the other is the theater teacher. So,
not gonna say nothing. The Godspell show
is
better.
Yeah, so much.
I still would have liked to have seen this Pippin production because I like Pippin. Yeah. I'll watch Pippin any day.
Pippin seems crazy. I'm down to watch it. Seems like a fun.
Maybe
drug trip of a time.
Maybe we should do a commentary on it. Maybe we'll do that one day.
Oh, God.
Because they did do a pro shot of it. We could just, like, literally live.
It's true. It's live riff it.
Yeah. Talk about it. It's a weird show.
Yeah, it's a weird show.
It's an interesting show. But then there's just dancing, so we could just talk
over
the dancing. Bob Fosse, it's like, how am I going to represent the plague or war?
Dance.
I dance, of course. So the leading player's going to come out.
It's like the West Side Story answer to gang violence.
It works in the movie. I know you haven't seen
the
West
Side
Story.
I have not seen the West Side Story. I'm so sad.
It's very good. You're missing out.
I'm so sad. I may have to.
Did your boyfriend take you to see it?
No, I think I'm gonna. My mom wants to see it, so I don't have to con anyone into going to see it with me. So I'll just. I told my the schmobid numbers go down a little bit. My mom feels comfortable going to a movie theater. So.
Well, it's not like the theaters are really full for West Side Story. Else, we probably would be in a better situation in general.
That's true. That's true. Thank.
They're all seeing Spider-Man for the 50th time.
I blame Spider-Man. This is your fault. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, nobody saw Nightmare Alley either.
Yeah, I've wanted to see Nightmare Alley. I didn't heard of it till, like, a week before it came out, because I remember my boyfriend telling me, he's like, did you hear about the new Guillermo del Toro movie? And I'm like, what? Guillermo del Toro made a new movie? Because I did not see any marketing for it anywhere I look. So.
I remember when the trailer came out, and I'm like, that's the most Guillermo del Toro-looking movie I've ever seen. And then I just didn't have time to go see it.
I mean, his last movie won Best Picture, so I guess the pressure was high. But the marketing department clearly did not do shit, so.
I think Guillermo del Toro should direct a musical next.
Yeah, same.
Same with Edgar Wright. After last night in Soho, Edgar Wright needs to just direct a musical.
I mean, technically, Guillermo del Toro directed a musical for, like, one scene.
Yeah.
So, he has the chops. We just need to see him do it for 90 minutes.
So, apparently, we're going to talk about movies for a second, because that's what we do on this podcast. We talk about Encore for a little
Encore,
bit, then we just talk
and
about
and we
movies.
Move on to a different subject.
Yeah. So, do you remember when Noah Baumbach made A Marriage Story?
Yes.
And he and Adam Driver, afterwards, were talking about doing a follow-up, being an adaptation of Company, starring Adam Driver as Bobby?
I did not know that.
A film.
But I want to see it.
Adaptation. I don't want to see this. I don't want this.
I,
however,
want this.
Caveat. If Greta Gerwig directed Company.
Better.
And Noah Baumbach helped, I'd be into
it. This is how Greta Gerwig started her directing career, so it makes sense.
I really think Greta Gerwig's a better... Like, Little Women is probably my favorite adaptation of anything. I didn't love Lady Bird, but I love Little Women.
I have not seen either.
She is good with an adaptation. You have not seen...
Lady Bird nor Little Women.
You need to watch Little Women. Little Women's so fucking good.
It has all my favorite people. I just didn't get the chance.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters. Yeah. I made my girlfriend go with me to see Little Women. And then I'm like, no, that's a perfect movie. Like, zero fault.
I thought she would make you go see Little Women. I enjoy this reverse.
Our entire relationship is that reverse.
I just convinced my boyfriend to watch the Cats movie with me if he gets drunk enough. So.
I'm always like, Miranda, will you watch this with me? She's like, it sounds boring. what was the thing? When Sondheim died, and I was just kind of hyper fixating on it because, you know, a guy I really loved as a creator died. So she's like, you want to just tell me what every Sondheim musical's about just so you can, like, talk about him?
Aww.
And I was like, yeah, I'd like that. So I went through them, and she's like, why does he think that these would be interesting musicals? Like, I got some Pacific Overtures, and I'm like, it's about the westernization of Japan. But no, wait, hold on.
He wrote a musical about the westernization of Japan?
Yes, and it's fantastic.
That sounds clinically insane.
It is. Pacific Overtures isn't a great show. Like, it has my favorite Sondheim song ever in it, and Sondheim's own favorite Sondheim song in it.
Wasn't Franklin Shepard in your favorite Sondheim song?
That's one of them. But Someone in a Tree is a little mini play in the middle of this musical where it's about the fucking British people coming in and the Japanese meeting to have a discussion about trade tariffs, and they come out with an agreement, but nobody knows what they said in that meeting. And Sondheim's like, well, that's just a boring story. And then he decided, well, turn into the room where it happened, which this song inspired, where it's about all the people around. There's a kid in a tree that can see them going on, and there's a guy under the floorboards, and they're all telling their pieces of the story until they piece together, like, this is what we think happened. And I'm like, that's such a brilliant song idea.
Why does no one talk about that when in all these Hamilton reference videos? Why does no one talk about that? That's, like, kind of interesting.
I did.
I watched it years ago, sorry.
Because Pacific Overtures doesn't get the love it deserves.
I know Modern Major General is a reference to the I Am Very to the Modern Major General song. I know. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Everyone and their grandma knows the Modern Major General song is.
Did you catch... You saw Encanto, right?
I did.
Did you catch when Bruno says Let It Go, he plays da-da-da-da-da?
Yes, I did. Which is ironic considering it's past Let It Go in popularity and became the most successful Disney song since 1995.
I hope it passes A Whole New World, because I really, really hated the radio edit of A Whole New World.
Like, it's like the 90s softcore version of Disney songs are all terrible. They're all bad.
As soon as Howard Ashman died, they all became terrible pop songs.
Yeah, like, Reflection was recorded twice by Christina Aguilera at this point. Because she recorded it for the new Mulan, which doesn't even include Reflection, because there's no songs in it, so... Fuck that movie.
They play a little bit of Reflection when she stares at her reflection.
It doesn't count.
Did you like the new Mulan?
I have never seen it. I've only seen Sideways' video on the movie. I've seen, like, three other content creators discuss it because I don't want to watch it. I'm just like, I have better things to do with my time. So.
They gave Mulan the Force?
They did.
It's weird.
I did watch Cruella, though. I liked that movie.
Cruella's fun.
I liked that movie. It's Devil's Prada with a heist element. I thought it was delightful. So, I don't, am I excited for Cruella 2? Hell no. I don't need it.
You know what? I'd watch it. We should call it 101 Dalmatians.
No, we should call it 102 Dalmatians, which is what they called the sequel to the Glenn Close movie.
Or they could call it 2 Ella.
Oh.
But, like the letter 2.
2 Ella, 2 Furious.
2 Ella, 2 Dalmatians.
2 Ella, only 2 Dalmatians.
She gotta work up to the 101.
She'll get there. She'll get there. Soon enough, we'll get to 102, remaking 102 Dalmatians, which I have a vivid memory of for reasons unclear to me.
Do you know what the pitch is for Cruella 2? I know we're, like,
so far away from freaking Pippin. I do not know the pitch for Cruella 2.
I kind of am interested in the pitch. So they're bringing Glenn Close back, and they're going to do a The Godfather 2, where, like, yeah, they flash back to, like, the events with Emma Stone, and they have Glenn Close acting out. It sounds interesting. I'm like, all right, you kind of sold
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. I'm good. As long as we keep, like, the Anita and Roger of the Cruella, because I love those actors, and we, like, yeah. cast older versions of them. As long as we keep that. Like, I don't want them to magically be white people.
Well, they were some British woman and Jeff Daniels in the Glenn Close
Which I did
movie.
Watch as a child.
I watched that recently, and it's just, like, wants to be Home Alone so
bad. It really does! Especially when Hugh Laurie is, like, running around doing shit. I was like, Hugh Laurie is in this movie as one of the henchmen. Dad. It's very weird.
To tie this back to musical theater... Did you know Lin-Manuel Miranda did an episode of House in around 2009-2010 where he's like playing House's roommate in a mental asylum or something? I don't know. House got stupid. And he's just chatting with him. He's like, hey, I'm writing this like mixtape about Hamilton, and I've got this song about a British king. Like, I'm writing it as like a breakup song. And he always like, oh yeah, like you'll be back or something. He's like, that's good. That's good.
Hugh Laurie,
so Hugh Laurie
titled
came up with a
that
title
song.
Of, so now it is yes. Hugh Laurie is a great singer. I want him to do a cover of You'll Be Back So Bad because he came up with the title.
He should. Hugh Laurie's good. Anyway, Pippin.
Well, yeah. What's your cheese rating on this episode?
I'm going to give it cheddar. Oh, it was solid. Like old aged cheddar. It was good, and I liked it. It was a little too sexual at times, but, you know.
I will give this Pippin Jack cheese.
Did you just Google Pippin cheese?
No, I just took Pepper Jack and turned it to Pippin.
Oh, I thought that was an actual brand of cheese.
No.
Anyway.
All right.
Episode 10.
High School Musical.
What a transition.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I was in High School Musical once.
I did career for High School Musical when I was 13.
Actually, I think when... No, in the Musicals with Cheese episode, right before this comes out, I talk about how I performed with the national tour of High School Musical very, very briefly for a couple cities.
Oh, God.
Because I think my, like, what you call it production, my Amdram production was one of the first, and they were like, hey, you guys are doing very well. We could teach you guys a few dance moves, and when we come to, like, the bordering cities, you can come and perform with us.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. So I got to perform with the touring production of...
That's cool.
High School Musical.
I did High School Musical Junior.
Oh, God. What's the difference? Do they just not kiss at
no,
the end?
No, they kiss at the end. I don't remember. The only thing I remember about that show is the cast being really loud backstage and, like, constantly talking at high volumes. And, like, it got to the point where my guidance counselor, who was the director, was telling us, the crew, to keep them quiet.
I remember a girl got stalked because they publicly released the schedule online, and so a guy just kept following the schedule to stalk one of the girls.
Oh, no.
It was And they had to pull down the website with the schedule. That's like, well, it was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a bad idea.
I was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You boomers don't know how the internet works and how creepy men are.
When I was a senior in high school, we have this thing called like Senior Assassin, where basically like a bunch of seniors sign up and they have to like fake shoot each other with like Nerf guns. It's very strange. It's like a thing my high school did. I didn't sign up for it, but I remember one of the seniors who signed up for it was an actor in the show I was working on. So the person who was supposed to hunt her down got my number somehow and texted me and was like, hey, can you let me know when your rehearsal's over? Because I want to like try to assassinate this person for a Senior Assassin. And I was like, I don't know if I want to give out her information. Also, I never talked to you because we have one class together and that's how you got my number probably. So, or I gave him my number. I do not remember. I have this guy's number in my phone still because I've yet to clean up my contacts. I'm just like...
I have so many useless contacts.
Same. I need more restaurants in my contacts, but I just use Grubhub now, so I don't even have them. I don't want to talk on the phone.
You should be using Grubhub because of the fees they charge.
Yes, I should not use Grubhub. I mostly go to... I have a restaurant near me. I use their website to order food from, because hopefully the money will get to them more directly that way.
So what do you think about the High School Musical guy, though? It's like, everyone thought I was gay, but I'm not gay!
Okay, there's this debate whether Ryan in High School Musical is gay.
Yeah, he
is. And the answer is yes, he is. He was gay the whole time, and stop having this debate. But there's an entire scene in this episode where the director sits down with the Sharpay and Ryan actors, and the guy who plays Ryan is also the name of my significant other, so I refuse to say it.
That's fine.
But anyway...
I mean, now people can find out the name of your significant other by looking up the episode.
I know, but no one knows his last name, and all my shit is private, so.
Yeah.
Jess is my friend on Facebook, which is the only reason he knows this, so.
Yeah, I stalk you. I'm a fucking idiot.
But you know, there's an entire debate where the guy who's playing Ryan is like, I don't believe Ryan is gay. I believe he is flamboyant. And I'm just like,
can't he just be gay?
No, Ryan is gay.
Okay, that reminds me of a quote from Billy Porter when he did Kinky Boots, where they wrote the character Lola to be ambiguous in sexuality but a drag queen, and he's like, that's not how I'm playing it. If they want to get fucking Wayne Brady in here and play it, that's what they want to do, but nah, my character's gay.
And they did get Wayne Brady, though.
I was like, in Kinky Boots? Yeah. No, it was Billy Porter.
They got Wayne Brady later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Wayne Brady probably played it straight for some reason.
I actually saw him on Broadway in Kinky Boots. He played it gay.
Good. I saw Wayne Brady on the street for a Ham for Ham outside the Richard Rogers Theater on Broadway once.
Iconic.
I saw him and Lin-Manuel Miranda pull out like a little megaphone, but hey, we're rapping and improving. And it was, like a week later, they announced he'd be playing Burr.
Hell yeah!
I was like, oh,
great casting. Ryan is gay. That's the point here. Ryan is gay.
Yes.
Ryan is gay. I'm gonna say this one more time. Ryan is gay.
If you're so secure in your sexuality, why are you afraid to play a gay boy?
Yeah, like, just be secure and play him as gay and have him, like, flirt with the other male cast members in a non-creepy way. Like,
or just don't. Play it the way that you feel natural, but gay. The character gay, I'm sorry.
Ryan
it's
is
like
gay.
Going into falsettos and being like, I'm playing Marvin straight.
Ryan, he literally wears a sparkly newsboy cap casually to school in 2006.
I mean, I did too.
I know, but he also wore a matching shirt.
He was fashionable.
He was fashionable, but it's the way Lucas Gabriel played him. He was gay.
Lucas Gabriel was the fucking king of that.
He was so good. But then in High School Musical 2, they gave him a girlfriend. And I was just like.
Did they?
Yeah, no, they had hooked him up with Kelsey, who was also probably a lesbian.
Yeah, she was like. I'm not gonna lie, I had the crush on Kelsey. Kelsey was like the one I was like, oh, that's my type.
I was distracted by Zac Efron, which we all were when you were a teenage girl back in like 2007. But you know,
who is Gabrielle's friend? I forgot
Taylor.
The character's name. I had a real big crush on Taylor too.
She's cute. I just didn't like her in the first movie because she was just so evil.
What? She wasn't evil. She was smart and calculating.
She was smart. Yeah, that's true. But I think at the in the moment, I was like, I want these two to kiss awkwardly at the end. So I need Taylor and Chad to stop being so like interfering with this dynamic. Also, I love the actor who played Chad in this encore production was like, I want to be Troy.
Troy isn't even... Chad is a much more interesting character.
Chad is way more interesting. Like, Chad, like, learns his lesson. He has a little more of an arc than Troy does.
Troy is just like... It's like kindergarten.
It's just like kindergarten. Okay, let's make out.
If you guys are new to the Patreon, go listen to our commentaries on the High School Musical trilogy, me and Andrew. There are so many memes that we started in that commentary that we still use in the podcast without context to the normies. So you guys are getting like actual, like we just still quote like it's a jungle up here because of how terrible Vanessa Hudgens' delivery is. Wow, it's like a jungle out here. She looks like she's staring into the sun during every part of the movie. Like,
she does. Wow. I haven't seen the... Looks like is every that the third one or the first one?
I was talking about all three of them, but the line, it's a jungle up here, was from the
first one. Yeah, because it was the rooftop garden. Oh, yeah. That was a weird scene in that movie. What high school is a rooftop garden?
The meth lab. Like, they got a meth lab.
There's also an underground pool and a meth lab in this high school. You want to go see it, Gabriella?
This Hard Rock candy makes my eyes cry.
And then Walt.
It's like a jungle up here.
And then Bryan Cranston shows up pre-Breaking Bad and is just like, hello.
Hi, I'm Bryan Cranston. I'm an upbeat dad figure in this movie now.
That's how I felt when he showed up in The Disaster. And he's like, hi, I'm Bryan Cranston. I'm just like, why are you here? You weren't in the book.
Yeah, you weren't in the book.
I read the book.
I read the book, too, and that movie was very disappointing to anyone that's read that book.
That book is way more interesting than the movie. Just read The Disaster Artist book. It's much better. Also, there's no weird third act breakup in the book, because it's real life.
I mean, so... there kind of was, though.
There was a little bit, but it was, like, for a day or two.
No, it was like, the movie's done, and we just kind of stopped talking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I'm like, that's as much of a third act breakup as you need. Like, wow, that was a really stressful experience. I need a break from you.
It took like 2 to 3 years for The Room to be considered like a funny movie.
Yeah, it didn't happen that
night. For the first year of its release, everyone thought it was the worst thing ever. Like, seriously. But like, High School Musical is also just a very bad movie. It's just, it does not hold up. I when I got Disney Plus, the first thing I did was watch a bunch of DCOMs because I grew up watching DCOMs and I wanted to relive my childhood.
Not a single DCOM holds up.
I would argue that is not true, but I would argue High School Musical 2 holds up.
I hate High School Musical 2. I think that's the worst one of the three.
No, it's the best one of the three.
Okay, I've talked about this 1,000 times before, but the message of all three of the High School Musical films are, it's stupid to put effort into things. Can't we just fuck around and go out there? Like, that's the thing. Sharpay, you're trying too hard. Why don't you just try a little less and just have fun and not try as hard, and we just go out there and we just sing and wing it? That is the message of all three High School Musicals, and they are rewarded every time.
Okay. I am not saying they should be rewarded for being lazy, as many of the characters are in that franchise. But for me, I ignore the messaging and the plot of High School Musicals because they're all the goddamn same, and just pay attention to all the other stuff, like the songs.
You mean Zac Efron's body?
Zac Efron's butt, if it shows up in the frame. I watched The Lucky Ones recently, the Nicholas Sparks movie, and there's an entire scene where Taylor Schilling is just staring at his butt from a distance. And then they cut to his butt, like, it's like a close-up shot from a distance of his butt, and it's just like, this is for me. Yes. Yes. But I would argue that High School Musical 2 is the best musical numbers of the franchise.
I disagree.
I think it has, Bet On It is camp. It's iconic. It took 3 days to film, and it was over almost half the shooting schedule. So, yes. I think the song by the pool is amazing. Really, Jess.
Fabulous?
Yeah, Fabulous is great. Also, Jess just sent me a picture of Zac Efron's butt while we were recording.
I did not. You can't prove that I did this.
I screenshot and put on Twitter. I'm kidding.
Here's the best look at Zac Efron's butt to date. An article dated May 4th, 2019.
Hey, don't make fun of my crush on Zac Efron. I wanted to marry him in 2006.
I wanted to marry, what's her name? Samantha Barks way too long.
So.
Now she's on TikTok.
I wanted to marry Zac Efron, and then I wanted to marry Joe Jonas.
Now you want to marry Joe Jonas?
I mean, I don't really want to marry Joe Jonas anymore. He's super married to a beautiful woman, so I'm not breaking that marriage up.
Which beautiful woman?
Sophie Turner.
Oh yeah, that one from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
was she the only one that like didn't have a big old like promoted sex scene?
Yeah, I don't think she wanted one. So also she did get a scene I have a lot of issues with, but that's the writer's fault, not hers. So.
Oh yeah, I know which scene you're talking
about.
But I just remember when what's the young girl's name?
Maisie Williams.
She has, like, a sex scene, and then the fucking, like, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I saw, like, all the articles about her having a sex scene, and I was like, isn't that the baby?
Yeah, okay.
Is the baby having sex now?
Okay. She's old. She's, like, in her 20s by that point in the narrative, so.
I didn't watch the show. I saw a few episodes of the first season, and I was like, oh, baby. Right,
I will give you the least spoilery context I can give you for that scene, because I've seen...
Do you think I'm going to watch this? Okay, let me say I did watch the last season.
I'm doing
season
the least spoilery for the audience at large, in case they do want to watch Game of Thrones. So basically, they're going into a big battle, and they spend the entire episode preparing for this big battle, which is the following episode, could have been one of the best episodes of Game of Thrones if the lighting didn't suck, but I'm not going to get into that right now, because holy crap, lighting is important, guys. Or just color graded a little brighter. Jesus Christ. I can't with Game of Thrones the last season. But anyway, right before in the battle, Arya's in a cavern with Gendry, who's a bastard who is like making swords for people, and he had been...
Is he an orphan too?
He's technically a half orphan because his father just doesn't want him, I guess. I don't really know what's going on with the...
Is he the son of a whore though? And a Scotsman?
I don't really...
Okay, continue. I have no
joke. We had to connect this to musical theater somehow. But anyway, he's a bastard of someone. Oh, no, he's the bastard of Robert Baratheon, who is super dead right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just give me drugs and let me die. Yeah, I know the memes.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler, because that's from, like, a long time ago. Anyway, so he's a Robert Baratheon's bastard, and they're in a cave, and then Maisie Williams is like, hey, I haven't had sex yet. We're about to go into a battle. I'm pretty sure... one of us is going to kick the bucket. Let's have sex. And then Gendry, who is regarded by much of the fandom as one of the hottest people on Game of Thrones, who is still currently living, is like, okay, cool. And then you cut to them in bed afterwards.
That's it? Okay. Why the fuck were like people like all over? Oh my god! Maisie Williams, fuck!
I mean, they like might have kissed for a hot minute, but like it wasn't like the scene where like Jamie and a different character like start having sex in the last season. Like,
what about I saw the pilot and I remember the scene where Jamie and Cersei fuck, and I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah, that happened. And then Game of Thrones fandom went from being disgusted by incest to wanting incest to happen magically.
Come on, fuck your stepmom or aunt or whatever
aunt,
the fuck.
It was his aunt.
Fuck your ass!
Yeah, just fuck your nephew, Daenerys. That's a good idea. Fun fact about Game of Thrones. The finale was airing the day I graduated college. So, the day I graduated college, I had to get back to my apartment, pack everything up in, like, a couple hours, so I could drive home in time to watch the Game of Thrones finale with my family. And it was not worth the stress that it put on me.
It was a cultural landmark.
Yeah, it was a cultural landmark of pain. Anyway,
you get to see
if you like pain.
Bron the Bron.
If you like good TV that turns into something painful, watch Game of Thrones, everybody.
That's our next watch.
Game of Thrones. They did make Coldplay made like a joke musical Game of Thrones video. So
That's hilarious.
Somewhat connected musical theater. Look that up. It's for Red Nose Day a few years back. Jamie actor sings a song about how much he loves his sister, and Tyrion's actor sings songs about how he's still alive somehow. By the time the show, he was still alive when the show was there. I do not remember if he lived at the end. So, a lot of people died in that show.
So what did you think of Encore episode 10?
It was fine.
And your cheese rating.
It was fine. High School Musical is one of those shows that I just like, I have so many memories of it that like every time I hear the first part of We're All in This Together, it will get stuck in my head for 6 days. And like you
Together, everyone.
And like, I liked High School Musical as a kid. I went to marry Zac Efron, so like, also, I liked a lot of this episode. I liked how Jacob played Gabrielle, her narrative around like having an injury and trying to like reclaim the part she couldn't play. I thought she was great. Her name is Allison. I thought she did a decent job considering she did not do it before, so she's just like,
yeah,
just trying her best here. Troy was fine. Troy's the worst.
Everyone was just
Troy's
fine.
Troy's like the worst character in that entire show. Like,
with like the worst
he's
songs.
So boring, and Get Your Head in the Game is just really awkward on stage.
It's awkward in the film,
it's
too.
It's really awkward in the film, but at least editing can cover up some of the awkwardness. When you're on stage, there's no post-production.
My favorite is the bad lip reading. Basketball, basketball. I love my basketball.
So good. I might rewatch that.
But what's your cheese rating?
I'm gonna give it something nostalgic about that isn't as good as I thought it was. So I'm gonna give it Kraft Singles.
Well, that's good. I'm gonna give it something similar. I'm gonna give it like the little cheese with like the breadsticks where you dip it in and
yeah.
then you snap the breadstick off into like the fucking hearted cheese. Yeah, that's what.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
gonna,
Brie gave Brie gave that to an episode I edited a video for, so I had to look up.
Oh,
I had to look up what that was. And I was like, I don't remember this.
I don't think I've ever given that.
Though. No, Brie did. Brie did. So, okay. If we are keeping track of these cheese ratings. So.
Yeah, someone has to. It's not me.
It's not me. Juliet.
Juliet!
Hi. Juliet. Juliet, you're great. You're an amazing human.
She is, or they are wonderful.
They are wonderful. I love them. I love them so.
All right, we'll see you next week for our big finale on Encore! Wow!
Yay!
Bye-bye!
So many memories.
Bye.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.